Now, the long lockdown will mean lower economic growth than previously forecast, according to the Economic and Social Research Institute. And while they do expect a strong recovery when restrictions ease, unemployment and housing supply will take longer to readjust. Professor Kieran McQuinn from the ESRI has more on their latest report. Good morning to you, Professor McQuinn.
Good morning, Anya.
I suppose as night follows day, a longer lockdown than you'd expected in your winter forecast means lower growth, therefore. But talk to us about the reality behind the numbers in your forecast for the rest of the year.
Yes, well, I suppose we, in our last commentary in December, we had envisaged some form of lockdown for the present year. However, clearly the lockdown that we're now experiencing is more significant and likely to last longer. So that has caused us to revise down our growth expectations. So we believe the economy will grow by somewhere in the region of 4.5% in the present year. You know, if we look at what happened last year, it's evident that when government restrictions were eased, there was a significant bounce back in terms of economic activity, particularly in terms of domestic drivers of growth, consumption and investment. But clearly, the longer we are in restrictions and the longer those measures exist, then, you know, the more adverse the impact on economic activity.
And let's talk about some of the consequences of that. A lot of people's hearts will sink when they see the headline, for instance, in the Irish Independent today about your report, building ban and savings to send house prices soaring.
Yes, well, I mean, unfortunately, I think one of the longer lasting impacts of the pandemic is the impact on housing supply. And what we've seen, of course, in the Irish economy over the last 10 years is that housing supply takes a long time to recover from a particularly adverse shock, such as the one we had in the financial crisis. So clearly, if you look at where we expect housing supply to be this year, in ordinary times, we would have expected somewhere in the region of maybe 25,000 units to be built, which would have been an increase on previous years. But I think given the nature of the pandemic and given the effect that it's had on particularly areas like commencements and planning permissions, it now seems likely that we'll be lucky to get 15,000 units this year. And even that may be on the optimistic side. If you look at our estimates for demand in the economy for housing, that would be in the region of 30 to 35,000 units. So that imbalance between supply and demand, which was there anyway before the pandemic, unfortunately, it looks likely that that will be exacerbated because of the effects of the pandemic.
Which puts a lot of focus, doesn't it, if the supply is going to be as restricted as you describe. It puts a lot of focus on the measures around price.
Exactly. I mean, I think the issue there is that obviously what we have observed over the last year is a significant increase in savings. So, you know, the kind of the measures that the government brought in terms of supporting family incomes have provided a floor, if you like, to prevent incomes from falling. And given that people haven't been consuming, it means that there has been a significant increase in the savings ratio in the economy. So the big question, I suppose, for all of us in terms of the nature of the recovery is how and what will people spend that money on in the coming months and indeed years. And if some of that increased savings finds itself into increased housing demand, well, given the fact that supply is now lower than what it otherwise would be, the danger, as you say, is that we will have increased price inflation in the coming years.
The other group, though, haven't been building up savings, and they'll be dealing with long-lasting unemployment, and they'll be dealing with the fact that even in lockdown there's been a small increase in rents. Talk to us about the impact of unemployment, the impact on people in lower-wage jobs who've been hit hardest and will likely take longer to recover.
Yes, I mean, I think it's a well-known characteristic of the pandemic. I mean, I suppose the Irish economy always had this dual nature to it, but I think the pandemic has really exposed the exact nature of that in terms of its effects. So if you think of the sectors of the economy that have been hit most, I mean, it's in areas like retail, tourism, and a lot of those jobs are not at the higher end of the wage spectrum, and maybe they're, you know, people who are employed in those sectors are on temporary wages or temporary labour conditions, etc. So these have been the sectors, and those are the kind of jobs that have been most adversely impacted by the pandemic. Other sectors of the economy have always been relatively unaffected. If you take the public sector, if you take those working in the multinational sector, for example. So we've really had that kind of dual-edged nature of the economy exposed by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And clearly those are the sectors, there will be a significant bounce back in employment levels in those sectors, clearly, when the restrictions are opened. But I think if you're talking about us getting back to the levels of unemployment that we had, say, just prior to the pandemic, I think, unfortunately, that's going to take some time. And part of that is down to the what we call scarring effects of the crisis, that the longer we have these restrictions in place, the more difficult it is, particularly for certain SMEs to survive, to get through this and to be able to get back into hiring and employing people in the labour market.
Final question, briefly, if you would, because we're up against the headlines. The government debt, it's now bigger than ever, but there's a different way of looking at debt in this crisis than there was in the banking crisis.
Yeah, the key issue is that I suppose the ECB is playing a much more involved role this time around. It's keeping government the cost of government debt down. And I think that has changed the dynamics, particularly in the way in which fiscal policy can be implemented both domestically and at a European level.
OK, appreciate you talking to us this morning. That's Professor Kieran McQuinn from the ESRI. It's 29 minutes past 7.